In Parsha Chemor, we have a list of the different holidays, the different festivals, beginning with Shabbos, all the way through Pesach, Sfiras HaOmer, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. In dealing with Sfiras HaOmer, we have the famous pasuk of, and it shall count for yourselves from the day after the Shabbos, from the day you bring the Omer, 7 weeks they shall be complete, until the day after the seventh week, you shall count 50 days, and you shall bring up a new offering to Hashem. And indeed, we know that every year, starting from the second day, the second night of Pesach, we count what we call Sfiras HaOmer, the count of the Omer, until we get to the 49th day, and then we bring in the holiday of Shavuot. What's the reason for this count? So my sole desire, Rabbi Kluger, notes the obvious. On the second night of Pesach, we begin the counting of the Omer. Chazal tells us that when the Jews left Egypt, Moshe Rabbeinu told them they received the Torah in another 50 days. The Jews were so anxious to receive the Torah, they started counting the days until the awaited day of Kabbal Satorah. The 7 weeks of Sfiras HaOmer are akin to 7 cleansing days, just as the Kala anticipates and prepares herself for the wedding days. The Jews waited and prepared for Matan Torah, their marriage to Hashem. And the obvious question we know on this is, then why do we count backwards? We should count how many days are left, not how many days have passed. Okay. The Torah cites another reason for this counting. On the second day of Pesach, we're commanded to harvest the barley and bring the Korban Omer as an offering in the Beis HaMikdash. This marked the day from which it was permitted to eat from the new crops of that year. We are commanded to count 7 weeks from the day of the Korban Omer, and on the 50th day, Shavuot, to bring the Minchas Chitim, the first offering of the new wheat. And literally, Omer means Asirit Ha'efah. It's an amount. So when we say we brought the Korban HaOmer, it really means we brought the Korban, the sacrifice of the barley, of the beginning of the new harvest, and the amount we brought was an Omer, was a small amount, and therefore we call this Korban the Korban HaOmer. On this, we have, and this is the basic question that Mirz Hashem will deal with today, Rav Yosef of Yosef Salon, Source 3. Odei Shalavim Mitzvah Sasfira. Mao Atam Shesofrim Ota LaOmer. Why is our count connected to this Omer, to this Korban? And in fact, why is it even called the Korban HaOmer? It should be Korban of the Saorim. Like, it's very bizarre. Many Korbanos had amounts of Omer, but we don't call the Korban after the amount. V'cheinusach HaBrachahi al Sfiras HaOmer. The bracha itself is on the counting of the Omer. V'yom kach v'kach laOmer. Today is this many days to the Omer. And if we're counting, as we said, in anticipation for the holiday of Shavuot, why are we counting? If we're looking forward to Shavuot, why are we counting toward the Omer? The Sichas Eliyahu Rav Eliyahu Rot furthers this question. He quotes a Risha Rabbeinu Yerucham, who says, "V'tamuahu sheyesh sheyelo lomar Sfiras HaOmer." What's this idea of Sfiras HaOmer? What's this all about? Bir hadvarim hinemin anusach al Sfiras HaOmer nireh kivyachol sovrim anu et HaOmer. It's as if we are counting the Omer. Ulachora HaOmer no devar shenitam lispuroto. At first glance, the Omer is not something that we can count. Sharei Omer hainu korban mincha suyam et sovrim shrek revim otel machrat yov tofri shal Pesach. We should be counting days. It should be the mitzvah al Sfiras HaYamim, to count the days. What do you mean counting the Omer? The Omer was a korban we brought in the past, the sacrifice that was brought on the second day of Pesach. What do you mean al Sfiras HaOmer? Day 35, we're still bringing the Omer? No. So what does it mean when we say the bracha al Sfiras HaOmer, we're counting the Omer? What do you mean we're counting the Omer? What is this bracha all about? The Ol Moshe Rav Scheinemann continues and asks, Oji Eshlaksho, the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer Amrim, Hayom Yom, and it's a different nuschos, Ashkenaz and Sfarad, Ba Omer or La Omer, it should really be Hayom Yom Achad Me Omer, from the bringing. What does it mean, La Omer, to the Omer, or Ba Omer, in the Omer? What does that mean? Today is the fifth day in the Omer, today is the fifth day to the Omer. It should be, it's the fifth day from ringing the Omer. Makes absolutely no sense. And my friends, for those of us who count every night, and for those of us who don't count every night, for those who do count every night, and Klal Yisrael counts, so this question counts. What do we mean when we say Osiris Omer? What do we mean Ba Omer, La Omer? The question stands as fundamental. We have to understand what we're saying, because Ba Omer, La Omer will have different kavanos. When we say Osiris Omer, we have a certain kavana, a certain intention of what we mean. That's our question, my friend, for today. Very fundamental question, and I think a very important question. And as always, the question will lead us down to very, very important roads of fundamental concepts of what this period of time of Sefirot HaOmer is about, aside from what we've spoken about in the past, which it's not in place of working on one's midos and the students Rabbi Akiva and being nice to each other. That's all fine and nice and important. Today, again, not to the exclusion of, we're going to be looking at a different facet, a different aspect. I'd like to take a look at five ideas. The first four really explain more so La Omer, and the fifth is really focusing on the Ba Omer. Idea number one of five, and all five we have what to learn from, is the idea that Tichal Yom brings down. We know the Marsha brings down Chidush Gadol Madu BePesach Mevi'im Sa'orim Dafka. Why is it on Pesach we bring the korban, the sacrifice of Sa'orim, of barley, and a Shavuos of wheat? And the korban Omer ba'amina Sa'orim she'machal behema. The korban of Omer comes from the barley, which is animal food. Ve'ilu shtei alechem she'mevim b'shavuos ba'amina chitim she'machal ada. And Shavuos, we bring food that people eat. Vasfira be'nehem, and the count between them. Why? What does this mean? Because when we left Egypt before we got to Torah, we were on a level of behemius, of animal. And when we got to Torah, we reached a level of das, of knowledge, right? And therefore, what we are counting from is we are counting from the time that we, as a people, as a nation, move from the level of purely physical to more of a spiritual nation, a nation of das, of knowledge. Lefisa Beur, Niflash, Sofrim Dafka, Lemignana Omer. That's how we count right to the Omer. Kide Laskir Latzmenu Shlo Taranu Kvemot. It's to remind us that if we don't have the Torah, we're connected to that Omer. We're like animals. Umit Koranim Ana Leoma Tantora, Ukechana Alenu Li Pared, Litrachek, Becho Yom Vayom, Yoterma Bemiut, Velitromain, Ledarga Ben Dat. And this is our challenge. Our challenge is every day to move away a little bit more from the artsfield, from the physicality, from the physical drives, from the animal parts of us, and to be able to slowly move to the more spiritual parts of ourselves. That's Al Sfira Sa'omer. What are we counting? We're counting our ascent from the concept of Omer. The Omer being the idea of the behemios, the sa'ora, the barley, that which is connected to the animal part. And this is really our job during Sfira Sa'omer, is to work on, and we'll talk about this now, moving away from the basic physical drives and trying to allow the more spiritual part of ourselves, the holier, the loftier parts to take over. It reminded me this morning when my alarm went off and I'm about to press the snooze button to say, you know what, the snooze button, I'm about to teach a shiur today, the snooze button is that part of me that wants to sleep. There's a part of me that should be getting up and doing a Avodas Hashem. So instead of pressing the snooze button, I'm going to get up and I am going to start my day. Okay, I admit, this was the third time I was going to press the snooze button, but I didn't do it. Only twice. Okay, so we're only at 15 days of the Omer. I have time to work on the first two times of the snooze button. That's where it's at, my friends. Still can't get used to Sundays in Eretz Yisrael, the work day, like any other day that I'm taping today. And this is where it's at, my friends, that this is our challenge. Not pressing the snooze button. I've gone up that one notch. Not even that last piece of cake. I've gone up that one notch. Not answering a person back that I'd like to give a good retort. I've gone up one notch. This is what we are doing. Rav Rotberg, Rosfi Rotberg, Rav Shiva, and B'nai Brak, and Moda Labina takes this idea and develops it a little bit, on a little bit more of a deeper level. And he explains in Source 8 that after Adam HaRishon ate from the tree, Hashem told him, you're going to be eating. Your food is going to come through hard work of thorns and thistles. And the Medrash tells us that Adam Rishon began to cry. And he says, me and the donkey are going to eat from the same feeding place. And Hashem says, you know what? You'll eat bread and he will eat, the donkey will eat, you know, the raw wheat, the raw barley, the animal food. What is this message here? That Adam Rishon realized that after he sinned, it wasn't just that he sinned, but that he went down from that lofty, high level to the level of the animal. And that's why he notes in 9, it wasn't by accident Chazal used of all the animals, I and the donkey are going to eat from the same place. The chamor represents the chumriyot, the physicality of man, the physical part of ourselves. And Adam realized that, you know what? I am no longer just that spiritual being that I was created. Now the animal part of me, by giving license to eating the tree over listening to God, has taken hold. And Adam realized that he had fallen. And this is in deep pshat, in the end of 9, when Hashem says, the day you eat it, you're going to die. Adam didn't die, he lived 1,000 years. To a certain degree, he did die. On that very day, he died. His spiritual, lofty life came to an end. And now he's beginning the life of the very physical. But we also know, my friends, and this is source 10, that when Adam Arishon sinned, Klai Yisrael were able for a short time to return back to that high level of Adam Arishon. And that was the Mamad Har Sinai. That's when we got the Torah. And again, had we not sinned by the Cheta Ego, the sin of the golden calf, we would have been able to maintain that level of Adam before the sin. Death would not have come into the world, and we would have been back to that perfected state. So now I understand what is going on a much deeper level in bringing this Korban HaOmer. The Korban HaOmer is the beginning of the process of leaving Egypt. It's the animal part of me, the barley that is offered to Hashem. And this barley offering that's offered to Hashem in Source 10 does not allow me to eat any of the new crop until I bring this Korban. It puts a check on the animal part of me. I can't eat whenever I want, whatever I want. No. First, I have to offer the sacrifice to Hashem. And when we brought this sacrifice, Umayseh Omer Hi Lahani for the aspects in 10, V'larim Oto Al Hashem, was to wave it, like we wave the Lulav and Esrog, was to wave it in all the different directions to bring it to Hashem. On a symbolic level, Hainu L'romeim Et Achelek HaBeimi Al Hashem Yisbarach, to be able to raise not only the barley, the sheaf, but it's raising that animalistic part of me and bringing it toward Hashem. The day of the Akrava Sa'omer, of bringing the sacrifice, was called Yom Hanef, the day of the waving. And over again, if you pay attention to the parsha, you will see Omer HaTrufa, Trufa, waving over and over again. That is one of the key elements here, that not only are we bringing a sacrifice, we're waving it to Hashem, we're elevating it, recognizing that Hashem, you are in charge of all the Arba Ruchas Olam, of all the whole sphere of this world. Everything is yours. Everything returns to you. And this is Efshar. This is an 11. We're making a statement. Efshar L'Romobel Yishol Pnei Hashem Yisparach. We can take that animal part of us, the food and the part within us, and elevate it to Hashem. And this explains why, when we begin this Korban HaOmer, we begin to count, we begin this elevation process, B'macharat HaShabbat, Shabbat in this case is Pesach. What does Shabbat represent? We know that had Adam Arishon not sinned, and he entered into Shabbat, he would have been Yom Shekulo Shabbat. He would have lived in the perfected state. Shabbat is a taste of that perfected world. Matzah, when we eat the first day of Pesach, is a michlo demnusa, is the bread of Amunah, the bread of Refuah. Again, it's that perfected state. It's as if Hashem has done us a favor of giving us a glimpse into B'macharat HaShabbat. You've had that perfected state. You've tasted what the matzah is like. Now, take that Korban HaOmer and go back there. Work yourself back up to that level of Shabbos, B'macharat HaShabbos, the level of matzah. And that's getting back to the time when you can bring the Shtei Halecha, when you can bring actually bread, wheat, on the Mizbeach, when the animal has become so elevated that we're able to bring the wheat, the korban. We've spoken about this in the past at length, that korban of Shtei HaLechem is really a throwback to the state of Adam HaRishon in a level of complete perfection. This is our challenge during Sfiras HaOmer. So when I say the bracha al Sfiras HaOmer, when I say the Hayom Yom, whatever it is, La Omer, I'm reminding myself of our journey that each and every one of us must take at this particular time. And let's just round this idea up with two ideas where Rabbi Kluger, my soul desire, and he says in 13, the entire world was created for the Jewish people. In order, they reveal Kvod Shamayim, the sequence of the four seasons. The agricultural process reflect the steps of the Jews' service to Hashem. The spring season, Pesach's time, is when the crops begin to mature. This represents the maturation of a new phase in our service of God on Pesach, when we comprehend a new truth. On Pesach, Hashem redeemed us from Egypt, took us as his nation, whose task would be to reveal his godliness in the world. Every Pesach, the Jew gains a deeper awareness of his purpose in life, to reveal, Kvod Shamayim, the glory of God in this world. On Pesach, we bring an offering of barley, which is used as animal fodder. This symbolizes a Jew is, in effect, so far from the new truth that he has learned. Though he's eaten matzah on Pesach and told the story of Yitzhak, he's trying, thus clearly indicating that he realizes that Hashem alone is in control and only he can be relied upon, he still finds himself worrying about parnasa, about sustenance, livelihood, and looking to fulfill his own desires. Now the stage of work, avoda, begins, when he must start living in accordance with the faith and the truth that he knows in his mind. Through the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, the Torah teaches us how to go about the task of changing our heart to be Hashem's devoted servant. First, we lift up a sheaf of barley, a grain eaten by animals. When a Jew finds he is driven by his animalistic, mundane inclination, he believes that he's not desirable in this state because he is so far from being what he should be. But Hashem commands him to bring an offering of barley. And you should know that he desires him in the present animalistic state. Hashem takes joy in our longing to draw closer to him from this lowly level. If we think we're undesirable in a situation, this will lead for us to despair. Recognize that Hashem has naches. We don't get to level 50, my friends, overnight. We have to work on it. And Hashem says, I have naches from that little omer, that barley offering you've given me. You've made an effort. You've pressed that snooze button. You're trying. Hashem commanded us to count and grow step by step, connecting to Hashem from the distant point of the barley omer and becoming holier through his mitzvahs from there. Sfiras HaOmer teaches a central lesson in the service of God. When we achieve a new insight in any area, we must try to internalize and practice it, while at the same time realize that Hashem loves us the way we are right now, and he wants to see our yearning for him from the place in which we are at present. Hashem's nachas is to see us counting, advancing step by step, day by day, from the barley omer, our animalistic level. And this is why we count backward. I've succeeded one day in the omer. I've succeeded 2 days by the omer. 7 days. Every day I've inched my way forward, little by little. The mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is you shall count for you. Every person must count. We can't have, somebody else counting for you and you answering amen. No, because we all have different characteristics. We all have different life circumstances. And Hashem wants everyone to count from where we are at. And this is our challenge. People, he says, are sometimes afraid to learn and hear in 17 new perspectives and insights. We're not good enough. We haven't reached perfection. You know what Hashem says? No. Serve me where you are and try slowly, slowly to inch forward to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And this, my friend, as our final idea on this level of deal, we've seen in the past from Schwab, and Mayan Beit HaShoivan notes that this is hinted at in the fact that we stand during Sfiras HaOmer when we count. We learn this, Chazal tells of the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, of Shiva Shavuot Tispor Lecha, you shall count 7 weeks, Ma'achel Charmesh Bakama, from the time the sickle comes to the standing grain, you should begin to count. Chazal read it out to Kri Bakama, standing grain, Elo Bekoma, that you should stand. What does this mean on a deeper level? We are Mishulim Lakamash Sarim Basadeh. We are likened, we are akin to those barley standing in the field. And when we count Sfiras HaOmer, we should feel like we are being drawn from the ground. We are being cut from the ground. It's an amazing imagery because sitting is a sign of complacency. It's a sign of laziness, a sign of inactivity. When I stand, it's a sign I'm going somewhere. I'm moving somewhere. It is the counter effect, so to speak. When I stand, I'm moving toward breaking out of that, oh, I don't want to do anything. No, I'm built, and that's the animal part of us. That's the Adama, right? The earthliness that pulls us down as a gravitational force. We just sit back. I don't have to do anything. Don't push me, you know? Standing is movement. And this is what Sfiras HaOmer is about. When I stand, almost close my eyes and imagine I am that sheaf of barley and I'm being cut. And that every day a little bit more of that animal part of me. And again, it manifests itself in so many areas. The way I dress, the way I speak, the way I eat, the way I behave. In almost every area we can find, this is a little bit of a taste of the animal side of me, of the unrefined side of me. I want to break a little bit out of that unrefinement. I move a little bit forward in the way I sit, in the way I speak, every area. That's what Sfiras HaOmer is about. So according to this first level, my friends, when I count Sfiras HaOmer, I have in mind that I'm moving forward to receiving the Torah, to be on a level of Adam, who was attacking the sin, who rectified the sin. It's not just enough to count. We have to be working on the meaning of the count, which is working on the Omer, what the Omer represents, breaking out of that animal part of me and moving forward and to be able to bring forth Sfiras in the word sapir, shine, a sapphire, to be able to bring forth, to shine, the animal part of me. That's idea one. Idea two of the five. We know, why do we count? So we mentioned the Sefer HaChinuch in Source 19, this is the Ohel Moshe brings down, Rav Moshe Scheinemann, is that there is an anticipation. Like a servant who can't wait to be free, right? When am I getting out of jail? When does a person say, a person in jail, so when am I going to get out? This is this idea of being able to break forth. That's the anticipation of Subra. But there's a less well-known idea he brings, and that's his Sforno. The Sforno says that Sfiras HaOmer has a whole different idea, and that is that the Sfira is connected to the agricultural season. When we bring the sacrifices, the barley, the wheat, it has two aspects to it. One is, thank you Hashem for this new barley crop, and two is, please ensure that this crop and future crops grow appropriately. These 7 weeks, and he brings down from Yirmiyahu HaNavi, who rebuked the people that they weren't davening enough during these 7 weeks. These 7 weeks between Pesach and Shavuos, we see this by the Book of Ruth, where they came and brought in that harvest, this is the crucial time, because an agricultural society bases all of its parnassah, all of its sustenance, and how the wheat is going to grow. This is the time, right? Are you going to get a bumper crop? This is the time that you mamash have to daven. So when we brought the Korban HaOmer, it wasn't just, you know, going through the motions of bringing the first of the crop. It was a recognition, hodaya to Hashem, and a tefillah. Please, Hashem, we know that every time we give thanks, we always have to add a tefillah. We open a door giving thanks, and that door in every area, right? When Leah Imenu says, Hapamo Dad Hashem, now thank God, and she doesn't ask for more children, but Tamod Miladet, the Pasuk tells us, she stopped having children, right? I always say this to my students. When my kids were young and I would drive a friend of theirs home, I would, say a tefillah in the car, thank you Hashem for giving my girls such nice friends. May you continue to bless them with nice friends. Small tefillahs constantly, that you should bless them with good influences. Thanking and asking for the future. This, my friends, is mamish, the yesod of what Sfiras HaOmer is about. Thank you Hashem for giving us Al Sfiras HaOmer, the counting of the Omer, of La Omer, of that time that we brought the Omer. And the time of Spheres of Omer is the time to daven. Hashem, please continue to watch over these crops and enable them to grow. The Vudraham in 21 is Mishalev. He combines these answers. And he says, really, the two are hand in hand. If I don't have food, I don't have Torah. As I'm anticipating the revival of the Torah, and I want to be Makabel the Torah, and I want to receive the Torah, we have to be able to have sustenance in order to be able to learn Torah in peace. So these 7 weeks are not only anticipation of Torah, they're anticipation of being able to have the nourishment we need and the parnasa and the sustenance we need that will be able to learn Torah. So my friends, level number one of what Sfiras HaOmer is about is recognizing that our work during this time, and again, they're not exclusive, these five answers, and we'll see they're really one and the same, that this time is about moving ourselves, checking ourselves to see every day if we can find one time during the day at least where I have cut myself off from the ground. That imagery. I have cut the animal part out of me. I didn't answer that. I didn't wear that. I didn't say that. I didn't eat that. Whatever it is. I waited before. That's one part of Sfiras HaOmer. And that's really the avoda in counting. The second part is to be able to daven to Hashem that He should give us parnasa. He should have the, you know, the wheat grow, the barley grow, the crops be successful, and thank for the past. The third approach, which is also a pretty famous approach, is the Be'er Yosef himself, Rav Yosef Salant. And he brings down in 23 two different ideas of the Sefer HaChinuch. The first idea of the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Shin Beit, Tam al Avos HaOmer, why do we bring this Korban? Kedei Shenitbarech B'toch HaMaisa, that we should be blessed. That the chesed ha-gadol, the great kindness that Hashem did to give us each year new crops, therefore it is appropriate to bring this korban to Hashem to thank Hashem for what He's given us. And then in Mitzvah Shin Vav, he brings the reason for Sfiras HaOmer. Why do we count? Because again, as we saw, we are anticipating the Torah. So the question obviously is, well, if we're anticipating getting the Torah from leaving Egypt, so then why don't we count from the first day of Pesach? First day of Pesach, we left Egypt. So at the night of the Seder, we should get up and say, okay, my friends, from tonight, we are counting, we are beginning our ascent toward this great goal of, you see, I mean, of Kabbalah Satorah of Shavuos. Why do we count on the second day? So Sefer HaChinuch brings, because Emar and Simcha B'Simcha, you don't mix two ideas together. So therefore we have Pesach being the first day, and the second day we bring Sfiras HaOmer. Ah, if that's the case, so then why don't we count, you know, Al Sfiras HaPesach? Why are we counting Al Sfiras HaOmer? So he says we pick that which happened on the second day of Pesach, the Korban HaOmer, and since it was a very important Korban, so we focus it on 2 days of the Omer, Al Sfiras HaOmer. According to this, it almost seems like the Omer is secondary. It really should be counting by Pesach, but we don't want to mix the two together. And it doesn't look so nice to say for the second day of Pesach, because that really puts the first day of Pesach in a lower level. So we count on something else that happened on the second day of Pesach. Oh, by the way, the Omer was brought on the second day, so let's count by the Omer. Says the Be'er Yosef, no. There's a lot more going on here. And this, my friends, is the key of the second level. And he says, the Squiggly 925, and this is the Medrash Rabba that is brought by many different, and many of the Sfarim. Amar Rabbi Brechia, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Amor Lahem Yisrael, say to the Jewish people, Kishayiti noten lechem et haman, when I gave you the manna from heaven, hayiti noten omer l'chol echa ve'echa mikem ha'udichtiv omer l'kulgola. I would give you an omer, again, asiri taifa, it's a certain amount. I would give an omer amount for every kulgola, every head. V'chshav, and now, when I ask you to respond to me by giving me a gift, I'm not asking for you to give an omer from everybody, and I'm not asking you to give me an omer from the best. I'm asking you a very small favor. Give me a little omer, a little amount from the barley, one for the entire Jewish people. What's going on here? So we see from this medrash, Mevuar Mikan in 26, Shakrava Saomer Yeshlo Kesher V'yachas im Omer Haman. There is an interconnection. Hashem says, I gave you an Omer of the man. I want you to respond by giving me an Omer. Because you don't find this in any of the other korbanos that also have an Omer, this interconnection. What's going on? So he explains that when the man fell for 40 years in the desert, this was a clear indication that Hashem was taking care of each and every person. It was like our, you know, initiation into Emunah. And we know when a person came home, Hamarbe, if you brought more, it wasn't, you got exactly what you needed. If you brought less, it added suddenly. Every person was taking care of exactly what they needed. And it gave them such strong bitachon, such strong faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aval Achshav in 25, Kishich Nesula Aretz, when they would enter the land, Vifnu Ish Ish Lechatolu Sadehu, and every person would go to their farm, and to their field, and into their vineyard. Va'aretz Yitein Yivulav Eitzah Sadeh Yitein Peryo, and everything would be bountiful. It could come to be that a person would really believe over time that, you know what, it's not Hashem who's giving me this, it's nature, and this is natural. And one would forget that just like Hashem provided for them in the desert, every person exactly what they needed, Hashem continues to provide for us everything we needed, albeit under the mask of nature, under the mask of Teva. And this is why, although there was a Tzimtzenet HaMan, there was a little flask of the manna that was kept in the Kodesh Kodashim in the Aron, for the people to remember this miracle, and Yirmiyahu HaNavi takes it out, Ra'ul, see, it wasn't enough of a sign for Klal Yisrael. It wasn't tangible enough. Ulam Kevan 26, Tzimtzenet HaMan, Itayu Medel, Fnai V'Lifnim. It didn't make a roshim on them, an impression on them that we would hope to have made. And therefore the mitzvah of the Omer comes to bring home this idea year after year. And here in 27, the Ber Moshe has the Ber Yosef has the clincher. When did they stop eating the man? On the second day of Pesach, the day we bring the Korban HaOmer. Why did Hashem orchestrate this exactly this way? In order to teach us that one is a continuation of the other. Al Sviras HaOmer, the Omer should remind us not only of the Korban HaOmer, but the Omer LaGulgolat, the Omer that was given by the man for each and every person. What is Al Sviras HaOmer, Hayom Yom Chamisha Sar Yom LaOmer? It is that we are connecting LaOmer to the ultimate Omer. The Omer of Emunah, the Omer of faith, the Omer that we brought, that Korban, that we brought on Pesach, and that's how we count from it, is Hashem's way of saying to us, I've given you so much, I want you to give back to me. When you give back to me, I want you to remember, and that's how we count over and over again, La Omer, La Omer, La Omer. I want you to bring to the fore that realization, that recognition, and that Emunah, that I am running the show here as I did then. And indeed, the Ber Moshe and Ber Yosef, 30, ends this piece by saying, perhaps that's why we count for the days and the weeks, because the miracle of the man happened every day, and there was a miracle at the end of the week that there was double, to reflect both miracles. We count by the day as well as by the week. And the Ber Moshe, now we got to Ber Moshe, 31, echoes this, v'amashmot hamukahi, she'ad ata b'nei Yisrael yu l'mal miderech ha'teva, till now we were above nature. Lo l'olech l'mavdo yechiyah adam, ki ha'kol motzapi Hashem yechiyah adam. We'll eat from the word of God's mouth, and now you're going to enter into the world of teva. Therefore, they had to bring a korban, the double underline in 31, k'dei likboa shegam olam ha'teva, hi bashkachat ha'kadosh baruch hu. And that nothing has changed. And afilu bismanenu, that we live behester be'olam ateva, there is no shinui, there's no change. Hashem is taking care of each and every one of us. V'yisod zeh anu tzrichim lashvish b'kerbenu. This is what we need to inculcate within ourselves. We, as the Torah says, chesed notes in 33, we come off of the holiday of Pesach, the holiday holiday, the holiday, as we've spoken about, of Amuna, the Mitzvah Demnusa, the bread of faith. When I've entered into this consciousness, and the matzah has entered into me, and the words of Agada have gone into that matzah, of Einod Bavado, Echan Miyodea, Ata Kadosh Baruch Hu, I have that realization. Now, 49 days, live that realization. When we count for the Omer, it's time for us to stop and really remember and really integrate and tell stories and talk about Hashgachas Hashem, how Hashem is intimately involved in my life. It's a beautiful time to know that what Hashgacha Prati happened to you today, to feel Hashem's hand in your life, to not just say, you know, stand up, today is 5 days of the Omer, but to stop and say, today is 5 days, La Omer to that Omer, to that point in Jewish history, point in time, where we bring that Omer, even though I don't bring it today, the Omer is still there and it still reminds me of how this is a continuation of the Omer of the Man, how much Hashem loves me, how much Hashem cares about me, and how much Hashem is taking care of me and my needs now as He did then. It is a time to strengthen ourselves in Emunah. And you know, my friend, Hayad Hashem Tiksar, is Hashem's hand ever small that He can't provide for us? He can't take care of us? We all struggle. We all have challenges. Welcome to the club. But we have to open our eyes to see the times that Hashem is holding us through these challenges and through these difficulties. And He pushes us through. Sometimes we see it more clearly than others. Sometimes they're more dramatic than others. But they're there. Rabbi Spiro, in this latest book, was Touched by Their Sensitivity, Touched by Their Something, I don't know, I've been touched by all their books, by his books. He brings a story of, and again, okay, so you'll say to me, this is a bit of a more dramatic story, so I'll give you another story after this story. So we'll have two stories. He tells a story of a family who, father dies, and they don't want their mother to be alone for Pesach. So the mother decides to go to one child in Kiryat Sefer, so the other son with his family decides that they were also going to go to Kiryat Sefer for Pesach. They live down south, and obviously it wouldn't be fair for, you know, this one family to cook all the food. So this family that lived down south, you know, prepared a lot of the food, you know, their portion plus. They sent the matzah and wine up ahead of time. They just took their food and their... And again, keeping in mind, Eretz Yisrael is just 1 day, not 2 days. And they left with plenty of time to make it a Kiryat Sefer. A few minutes, 45 minutes into the ride, they have a flat tire. No problem. He's handy. He's able to take the spare and fix the flat tire. A little bit further down the road, they have a second flat. Well, now, he's out of luck because he doesn't have a spare. And they realize this is a little bit strange. So they called the tow company, and they said, okay, we'll come. When? I don't know. You know, we'll get there. They wait and wait. Meanwhile, they call up Kiryat Sefer and say, there's no way we're going to make it to Kiryat Sefer. Time-wise, you know, I hope you have enough food. Good luck. Goodbye. Have a nice life type of thing. And they realize it's getting dark, and they look on their map, and they see that they're 10 minutes away from Hadera. So they lock up their car, they take their suitcases, their kids in tow, and the food. You can imagine this sight, and they walk to Hadera. Now, if you know anything about Hadera, exactly, you don't know much about Hadera because most people don't know much about Hadera. Hadera is a very nice town. It's not, happens to be like, you know, a place where most people have relatives or friends. It's not like, you know, in Ramat Beit Shemesh, everyone's third cousin lives here. Or neighbor's best friend lives here. So Hadera is a little bit more off the beaten track. They didn't know anybody in Hadera or anyone who knew anybody in Hadera. So he decides that he's going to go daven. And in shul, you know, hopefully someone will ask him, do you need a place? Or just ask somebody for accommodations and matzah and wine, all the rest of the food they had. So he waits, and nobody comes over to him. And he was on the shyer side, and you know, at the end, he asks one guy, and the guy mumbles something and runs away, and he comes out, and his kids, his wife is standing there, and they take one look at him, and they realize, oh no, we're in trouble. Okay, so here we have suitcases in hand. You can imagine this sight, you know, kids, suitcases, food, no matzahs, no wine, no place to sleep, Pesach night, Seder night. Got the picture? Good. So they decide to knock on a random door. And they knock on the door, and the husband can't even get out the request. So his wife says, we just need, if we could have, borrow from you matzah and wine and a place to stay, we have all the other food. So the guy is apologetic. He says, well, I'll tell you, you can come in, matzah and wine. I can give you food. I can't because I'm a vegetarian. We don't have chicken. We don't have fish. They said, fine, don't worry. We have the food. They invite him in, and they put their suitcases in the corner, and they put up the food, and they, you know, set everything up and shift everything over. Okay, we're all ready to start the Seder now. And right before he begins Kadesh, the Balabas starts to cry. And he says, I haven't been honest with you. He says, we're not a vegetarian family. The truth is, I used to be very wealthy. And suddenly, I just came under this financial crunch that I have nothing. And I couldn't even afford to buy food for Pesach. All I could buy was matzah and wine, and I was too embarrassed and maxed out on my credit card to buy anything else. He said, when you knocked on the door and you asked for the one thing that I do have, matzah and wine and a roof over my head, you restored my dignity. It was as if Hashem showed me that, you know what, even where I'm at, I can still give to others. He says, I can't thank you enough for the gift you've given me. And the end of the story is they have a beautiful time together at the Seder table. And this family is able to give him a loan. He's able to get back on his feet and be able to get back in, you know, back in on his feet in business. It wasn't by accident, those two flat tires. HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates everything exactly when they're needed, how they're needed. And this is what Hashem gives us. So I said I'd share with you a second story. And I could share with you so many stories. I'll share with you one. I have so many. In my own personal life, we've had, living in the States, times where we have been financially strapped. And I remember one time when such a thing happened, that we got a random phone call of a friend of my husband who said, do you read the New York Times, Sunday New York Times? We said, no. He said, well, in one of the sections of Sunday New York Times, they have a list of all the people who have bank accounts, who've opened bank accounts and never closed them. My husband's from Mississippi. So, you know, again, it's like Hadera, but much worse, trust me. You don't know too many people in Pascagoula, Mississippi. So you don't like look in Brooklyn, you know, comb, you know. So he said, I looked in Mississippi, in Pascagoula, Mississippi, and there was your name. You have a bank account that you open that you never close, and you can go claim the money. And sure enough, we were able to claim the money. These are just ways that Hashem sent you in the most random type of ways, right? Sunday New York Times, flat tires. These are ways that Hashem comes down and gives us exactly what we need. Al Sfiras HaOmer. We're counting to the Omer. We're counting to this reality of Omer, of the man. This is what we need to remember every Shabbos when we look at the two challahs at our table. This is what we need to remember every night that we count. So, first idea is, when we count, we're cutting ourselves a little bit from that artzios, from that ground, a little bit more spiritual. Second idea, it's a time to daven that we're able to be people who are going to appreciate the blessings Hashem has given us, then He should bestow further blessings. The third idea is what we just mentioned right now, that the whole idea of the Omer is connecting it to the Omer Lagugola, that amount of the man that every person got was an Omer. And it's to remind us that Hashem takes care of us intimately, every single person, and that is our training ground for Shavuos, working on our relationship, our emuna, with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Idea number four of La Omer, that we're counting toward the Omer. Again, Sichas Eliyahu, this is my latest and greatest for this year, favorite. These quote-unquote random Sfarim that Hashem puts in my hand, Gittler's in B'nai Brak, the superstore. If you ever go to B'nai Brak, well worth visiting this store. It is, I'll just share with you another story, and perhaps the person who's involved in the story will even hear this story. Just one more story, my friends, and then we'll continue. Erev Pesach, which is the worst time to go to a bookstore because you're already strapped financially. I said if I'm going to be teaching these parshios again, 10th, 11th time, finding new material, I need a new sfarim. So I went with my daughter. My older daughter has an excellent eye for exactly what I need, and we have a great time together in Gittler's. And I found some sperm, and it came out to be 600 shekels, which is around $150, which is a lot of money, Erev Pesach. And I bought the sperm because I knew I needed it. We had already bought a new bookshelf, Erev Pesach, at IKEA, because we're strapped here, Baruch Hashem. And I felt a little bit guilty. I said, spending 600 shekels, Erev Pesach, that's a lot of money, because Pesach itself is so expensive. But I knew I needed the books, but I was struggling with it. That was Monday night. And I spent the money. I said, I needed it. I'm going to do it. Wednesday night, we get a knock at the door while we're eating dinner, and a young lady's at the door and says, Mrs. Smiles, yes, I have an envelope for you from my family. In the envelope, it's a listener in Mid-America. I want to be vague here. I'm not going to give my identities. Not in a major city, let's put it that way, of America. Just a note, Chag Kasher Sameach, thinking of you, thanking you for your shiurim, and enclosed was, you got it, my friends, $150. That's it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of a person for the most random ways 2 days later. It is so clear. Al Sfira Sa'omer. Anyway, so this is one of those books. I got lost. On Sichas Eliyahu, where he says the following. He says, when we take a look at Sfira Sa'omer, we note in 36 that we count the first day of the Omer in a very interesting way. We don't say Hayom Yom Rishon LaOmer, if you're counting, Rishon Sheni, right? We say Hayom Yom Echad LaOmer. Today is the first day of the Omer. Similar to the creation of the world. Hayom Yom, Vayer Vayboker, Yom Echad, not Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, but Yom Echad. And we have by the third case we have, this is by the Hazayas Adam, the sprinkling of blood. Achas, one up, Achas Vachas, Achas Vishtayim. What is this idea, not Rishon Achas? So we know, he speaks about the idea, that Achas means Yom Echad, that Hashem was Yochid U'Meyuchad Ba'olamo. Angels did not exist yet, only Hashem existed. And therefore, it is the unique day. But obviously the question is, well, hold on. On the second day, even though the angels were created, Hashem is still Einod Bevada. There is no one other than Hashem. What does it mean that we're counting, you know, on the second day, it's Yom Sheni, and the first day is taken away? No, this is what he says, and listen closely. He says, count has one of two, this is 38, one of two possibilities. When I count something, I can either be taking a large amount of, let's say I'm counting, let's not use people, let's say I'm counting dolls. I don't know why I'm thinking of dolls. So if I'm counting dolls, let's say I have 30 dolls here. So when I count the dolls and I start counting 1, 2, 3, it means I'm individuating each one of these dolls. Instead of looking at them as 30 dolls, I'm looking at them as 1 doll, 2 dolls, and I'm making them as individuals. Or a count has the other effect. The 30 dolls, instead of looking at them as 30 individual dolls, they are really what? One group called dolls. They're 30 components, but it's really one group. So counting can either separate or counting can unite. What's the counting of Sfira Sa'omer? So he says, now listen closely, here we go, source 41. Avo Be'er B'divrei Rashi Kachi Kishe Matchilim Lisporta Sfira Shala Olam, when I'm counting the world, when Hashem began to create the world, Yeshvayim, something from nothing, on the first day, it was morning, it was evening, it was morning, it was one day. Then Hashem was unique in his world. On the second day, there were already angels. Va'az notzra mitziyut shebe'emsa'ut ha-sfira mitchaber ha-yom ha-sheni li-yom ha-rishon u-mitztaref li-yachid ba'olamo. The second day of creation is not to exclude the first day. First day is one day. Second day is another day. And to make them individuate them, 30 dolls. No, it's to connect them. It's one creation, and we're connected back to the Yom Echad, that first day. The second day of creation is part of that process called creation. The second day connects back to the first. The third connects back. everything is connecting back to the Makor, to the source. The Hainu Ha'achad Noter, Notar Achad Keshaya. I take it the second day and I connect it to the first. This type of sphira is a type which you take the different elements and you connect them to the whole. And that's what you have by the counting of the Kohen Gadol. Achas, it's one Hashem. Achas v'achas, that one Hashem I bring down to this world. Achas v'shayim. That's the sphira of Sfira Solomon. On the first day, and this is source 42, 43, on that first day of this of the Omer, person goes out to their field. Wow! Look at all this barley. Look at all I've created. There could be a feeling of kochi votzimyoti, the strength of my hand. Look at all I've created. And a person may forget Hashem. Hashem says, take that moment, the reishis, the first, and vehenaftoto, and wave it in front of me in all four directions, that you clearly understand that it comes from me, that there's no one else but me. Yom Echad la'Omer, it is one day to the Omer, it is one day where Hashem is yachid u'miyuchad, like Yom Echad and my separation, like the Achaz in the counting of the Kohen Gadol, that Yom Echad la'Omer is the key day of the Omer. It's the day that reminds me that when I bring that Omer, that barley sacrifice, it's coming as a recognition and realization, Ein od milvato, there's none other except Hashem. Yom Sheni la'Omer, Yom Hamisha Sar la'Omer, I'm bringing each day back la'Omer, my count back is my count recognizing that I am connecting it back to the core. It's not 49 separate days, it's really, and that's why if you break, you've lost it, one count, la'Omer, to that first moment of the Omer. All the subsequent days are part of the Yom Echad la'Omer, that first day of the Omer, the core, the realization of Ein Od Milvato. If I can bring 49 days of recognition, realization, understanding, that when I count, it reminds me of that wave offering on that first day, that there's none other in this world, and it's only Ritzon Hashem, the will of Hashem, then I can come to Shavuot Vatare Toldat. When I realize that my parnasa, I realize that everything is in Hashem's hand, and that if you're doing the best you can, and again, I have so many stories, L'shem Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you over and over again. You see this, Yom Echad La'Omer, there's only one realization, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is around. Zeh Hazman HaRa'ui Litchazek, 44, Be'emuno V'Hashkacha Prati, to strengthen ourselves in Emuna, with Hashkacha Prati, Divine Providence, Be'yidia Klapei Mi Yesh Li'achesek Kol HaKarei Be'olam, to whom we have to connect everything that happens in this world. First idea, get rid of the animals part. Second idea, thank Hashem and pray for the future. Third idea, Omer of the Man, Hashem takes care of us. Fourth idea, we're counting, connecting all the days, La Omer, that Yom Echad La Omer, El Sfiras Ha Omer, we're counting that Omer. That's what's illuminating, that's what's shining, that's a sapphire, that realization of Ein Od Milvato. Finally, the fifth idea, which is more understand, a deeper understanding in Ba'omer, and then we'll summarize the Meretz Hashem, the Meir Moshe, L'Otechav Emes, from Tov Yofa, a number of people quote the Ksav HaKabbalah. The Ksav HaKabbalah was very into linguistics, early 1800s, so Mechlenburg points out the word Omer, like in Parsha Yufet, Eshet Yifatoar, is Lo Tit Amerba, is the language of Hishtabdus, to be in servitude toward, to surrender. You know what Sfiras HaOmer is about? It's the recognition that we are totally under Hashem's will. We surrender ourselves completely to Hashem. We have 49 days. This is the 15th day Ba'Omer of subjugating myself, my will, my reality of my life to Hashem. Kishesofrim et hayamim abeyorhi shesofrim kama yamim avru aleinu. When we count backwards, we're counting how many days I've been successful to live a life of surrender and giving over to Hashem. V'kamecharnu et atzvenu likras kabbalas Torah. HaTorah, and how much I have prepared myself to receive the Torah. My friends, the title of this year is Omer Oneness, because it's really about the oneness of Hashem and the oneness that connects all of these ideas. Sviras HaOmer is about recognizing and working on Ein Od Milvado. There's no one but Hashem. BaOmer, it's Hishtabdus. I'm surrendering myself to Hashem. I'm subjugating myself to Hashem. I'm giving myself over to Hashem. How does that manifest itself? It manifests itself, one, that I'm working on lowering my animal parts of me and raising up the spiritual parts of me. Getting rid of that snooze button. Idea number two, it's an awareness of davening, of how important it is to thank Hashem and to ask for the future. Number three, it's a consciousness that Hashem is taking care of everybody. Omer Lagogolit, exactly what every person needs. The flat tires in Hadera, the 600 shekels in Gittler's. It's exactly what we need when we need it. Hashem is orchestrating man all the time. We have to be open to receive it. La Omer, La Omer, La Omer. It's about recognizing everything, all the count is really starting from that first day, Yom Echad La Omer, that first day of the Omer, the first day where I realize the Omer oneness, Ein Od Milvado. I wave that Omer as a reality in my mind, wherever I turn, wherever I go, it's all about Hashem. When I live that type of life, that type of consciousness, when I'm able to give myself over but completely to Hashem, I have that Hishtabdus, then it's not just standing and counting. It's a whole process. It's a process of, as we've seen, building and growth that Hashem enjoys and loves. We give nachas to Hashem, our small steps forward, our inching our way slowly, slowly, in our lives to become more of godly people, to be able to accept the Torah, and to strengthen ourselves in our emunah. They say the days of Sfiras HaOmer are one of the most powerful days of the entire Jewish year, which you can accomplish in this 49 days. It's hard to accomplish the entire year. It's a day where we have the feeling of closeness, of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we're able every night, after we count, to bring to the fore that feeling of closeness, that Ashkocha Prati, that Omer oneness, La Omer, the love that Hashem gives each and every one of us, and build that feeling of closeness, Hishtabdus, surrender to Hashem, by the time we get to the 49th level, we are ready, we are Kli Mekabel, to Mekabel the Torah, to receive the Torah, and to be able to declare, yes, Atah Reisal Adat, you have shown us, Ki Ein Od Milvado, there's no one like you, Hashem.